told you because Laban, his story is Yom Tseisa Chome El Tizad. That is the Pesach that he refers to.
It's in general going out, not just
it doesn't mean Pesach, no, it means that. It means that Pesach Laman, his story is Yom Tseisa Chome El Tizad, Kul Yomei Chayecho. Now look at the Hochi Garcinan, have you got that? And on Shavuos, for example, why do we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim on Shavuos? Ba Memotzinu Mipesach, we learn it in a Memotzinu, because everything that appertains to Pesach appertains to all the other Chag. Chag Pesach. Chag Pesach.
So it seems like it's for the Pesach,
the Pesach means part of Pesach. No. The Gzeira Shova, the Pesach, means the Tizkar Yishem Tzeisach from Erech Yitzchayim. Now look at the next piece of good. Rashbam Hochi Garsin, as you see. Kesiv Hochi Laman Tizkar Yishem Tzeisach. That's from where we learn the Gzeira Shova. Kesiv Hochi Laman Tizkar Yishem Shabbos. So that is the Gzeira Shova that the Rashbam has. If that is the Gzeira, the Gzeira Shova is from that. You follow what I'm saying, Mark?
Yes.
You see, the Aksharosa, the Mesechus of the Aftorah, the Mesechus for him, Tanya Lehu, the Brochus of the Aftorah, we learned that there the Brochus of the Aftorah, Meforish, the Mogen Avdoye, Dovid, Omer, which Lucio Shaykh Lomet, the famous Mir Kern Yeshua. There it explains in Mesechus Sofrim that in the Aftorah we say Mogen Dovid, and in the Tefillah, it's more appropriate to say Matmiyah Ken Yeshua, Mishum de Rachamininu, because it is Rachamin. So the Bogein David is of something fixed, and then we pray for Mashiach to come. It's Matmiyah Ken Yeshua. It's in the present tense. The only vaksim she Yatzmiyah Ken Yeshua Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shlomo or Yoomer Mishum Hochi Leitzayich Lameiner B'Tefillah Mogen David. The Rashi said, why don't we say in the Tefillah Mogen David? Shekavoremarnu Mogen Avraham Utrei Chasimus Kadoni Leitzayich B'Tefillah. And to have two similar endings together, we don't have that in Tefillah. Ephraim, are you happy?
Yes.
Good.
The Rashi, it doesn't have that Rashi of Tefillah.
No.
He
knew that his grandfather said it that way. Might have heard it from his grandfather.
What is Masechet Sofrim?
The Masechet Sofrim, they call it the minor tractates. And why is it called a minor tractate? Is because it really hasn't got any Gemara, and it really hasn't got any Mishnah. When you take it, are we calling it? It's Bereishis. It's Bereishis, so it's really it hasn't quite got
a sefer.
No, it's not a sefer. It's Bereishis, collection of Bereishis.
So do we have that?
Yes.
In that fashion.
We've got the Masechta Derech Eretz, the Masechta Derech Eretz Yisrael. We've got several of them. You haven't been taking these away one by one, have you?
I just saw a reference over the cancer. But in the back of another room?
Yes. Masechta Sefer. You follow it. There are a few there, Masechta Sefer. There are a few here. I must tell you, I once tried to do the Masechta Sefer very quickly for the seal for Pesach. And I couldn't do it. It was more difficult than I thought it was.
I just thought I'd be able to do it in a couple of nights or something. It didn't work out. I found that even though I got myself in anger and abuses and all sorts of things, and I moved it into something else.
So it's not quite as simple as on the surface, looks on the surface.
Is it learned that way? Do you actually learn it from the start to finish in the surface?
Yeah, I've never learned it. I've never come across anybody learning it. We refer to it. Okay. But to learn it Kaseder, we don't learn it Kaseder.
Even when they're learning, they're learning Shas, when they do Daf Yomi?
No, they don't do it. It doesn't come into the Daf Yomi.
the brackets that we keep referring to in here, they're just together in the collection?
No. The Tosefta is also not like that. You see, we've got brises in the Gemara that I call floating brises, because they don't come from the Tosefta, they don't come from the Refuta, they don't come from the Sifri, they don't come from the Sifro, but we've got in the Gemara these brises that went about. So we know that they are there. Also the things.
But are there any collections of these floating brises? Are there any?
No. We've got them in the Gemara.
But a lot of times the brisa will.
What you do find is, and this is important, when you work on the Tosefta, and a lot of work has been done on the Tosefta, then in order to understand the Tosefta, they use the brises and not the other brises. A floating brisa they were used to show. And then comes the most difficult thing of all, and that is learning the Gemara Yerushalmi. Now, on the Yerushalmi, we haven't got any Rishoni. And when you learn the Yerushalmi, then you see with that Tiberius that we've got no idea what it's all about.
No Rishoni at all.
No Rishoni on the Yerushalmi.
Why? There probably was some, but they were just lost.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there was ever anything on Yerushalmi, and I can understand the reason for it. The reason is because when the Rishonim worked on the Yerushalmi, the Bavli, you can only understand the Yerushalmi if you know the Bavli forwards and backwards, and upside down and inside out. That's the only way you can understand the Yerushalmi. Then you see, when you know all the principles and the concepts and things like that, you know it all from your Bavli.
But they were consoled independently, weren't they?
There's no such thing as independent being taken.
Well, but there's no sense in saying that the Yerushalmi was more dependent on the Bavli than the Bavli.
It wasn't dependent at all. But it's the same Torah. It's the same total. So if you know your Bavli absolutely, so all they had to be certain was that they knew the Bavli right, and that they preserved the Bavli. If they would have had the time, they might have done something on Yerushalmi, but they didn't have the time. Right. But in Israel, now I can't spend time on these things. It's very interesting to tell you all these things. You see.
Mentioned before that they tried to learn the Talmud.
Yes, but why they tried it? Why they tried it? You see, in the world there are all sorts of theses and all sorts of principles that work. Sometimes they work side by side, and they're just quite comfortable. In America, we have, you notice Democrats and Republicans. We have Democrats and Republicans, they are in the same House of Representatives, they are in the same Senate, they are in the same Congress, they don't throw bottles at one another, they go to the same parties. If a Republican is living in a house in a certain street, and and the Democrat wants to move next door, and he finds out the Republican is living next door, he doesn't say, "Oh no, I can't live there, I can't live next to him." He doesn't say that. Even married to one another. Works very well together. Then you've got another thing in America, management and labor. Does that work as well as that together?
No. They're never married to each other.
They sometimes throw bottles at one another, all sorts of things. You see, it doesn't work. But it's a system and it works. In England you've got conservative and labor. Now, a Labour person doesn't want to go and live next to a Conservative, have a Conservative person as his as his neighbor. He doesn't mind if he lives across the street, but not next. He doesn't want to see when he goes out any time and goes out. But still they go on, they carry on together, you see. When it comes to the trade unions and the owners of big business, there's trouble there. The trade unions closed down the Times. The paper like the Times, they just closed it down. Couldn't work with it at all. Doesn't work together. Now, in the Torah world, we've also got something like that. In the Torah world, for example, please don't misquote me. Don't misquote me, please. In the Torah world, for example, we've got Lubavitch and we've got Vishnavsky. We get on quite well together. And we don't agree with the Lubavitch. They don't agree with us. We say that there's too much, they say we put too much stress on the learning and learning and learning. What's about singing and dancing and eating? It's also something, it's also life. We say, look, yeah, you don't need Torah for that. Well, we disagree on that, but still we live together quite comfortably. I live at peace with the Satmar also. Some of my best friends are Gera Hasidim. Quite in order. I live very comfortably with all that. I live much more comfortably with the Satmar than the Lubavitcher live with the Satmar. And I live much more comfortably with the Lubavitcher than the Satmar live with the Lubavitcher. But this is all in the Torah world. So you've got, for example, you've got the Briska school. You've got the Shimon Shkop school of Igoya. You've got the school of Avona. Three different schools. We all live absolutely in peace. My son is Briska. I am Igoya. It doesn't matter. I try and find out from the Briska school. He tries to find out. We were the greatest of friends. We live very well. We live even better than Republicans and Democrats, and they live very well together. We all live very well together. It works. In Busa, there are four distinct schools. There is Kelem and Slabotka, Kelj and Lavaradok. I was introduced to Busa to the Kelmer school. Very soon I came into the Kelja school. After that, I was brought into the Slabotka school. I had no difficulties. Very much later in my life, the last 20 years, I interest myself in the Paratoka school. I'm very much at home in any of these. We all live very comfortably together. In 1898, and a little bit before then already, they started the Zionist movement, which was a political movement. And into this movement, at that time, now, when they started that movement, Herzl, as you know, was a very... Herzl, you know what he wanted? You know what country he wanted?
Uganda.
He wanted Uganda. I mean, it's all very well to say what the best we would have been today if we'd been in Uganda, can you imagine? But in those days, it was quite plausible. Lots has happened since then. He wanted Uganda. So why do you think he decided on Palestine? He was a very good politician. And if people said, we want Palestine. He said, oh, nonsense, Palestine. Or a country like Palestine. First of all, the Turks have got it. It's all swamps. It's all stone. Nothing grows there. Oh, no, they want. So he said, tell me what. He was clever. He said, tell me, why do you want Palestine? So he listened to what they say and he said, so what is it? Sentimental reasons, historical reasons, sociological reasons. We want to get money. Palestine will get money. Uganda we have to start over. Palestine will get money, people don't. Right, he said, you are quite right. Palestine is going to be. And we Palestine, you see. It was a purely political movement. He said to him, he said, I know rabbis, please. Rabbis, their place is in the synagogue. It's got nothing to do with rabbis. This is a political movement. The Gedolei Israel said, nothing to do with it. this is against, they wanted to be against religion, no religion. They said, this is being our downfall religion, we don't want it. And it was completely a secular political movement. In the 1890s, there were two outstanding rabbis. Didn't fall into the category of the Chofetz Chaim and the Be'er Simcha and the Chaim Ozer and the Chaim Brisker and the Netziv. Didn't fall into that category, but they were outstanding. The one was Reb Shmuel Molaver, and the other one was Rabbi Reines. And they said, we have to join up with the Zionists. You know, we've got to take part in this, and so we will be the religious, we'll have an effect on them and everything like that. And they had very good arguments, and those two created the Mizrahi movement. The Chofetz Chaim was opposed to it. The Rebbeis, the Gedolei Yisroel were all opposed to it and on no account wanted it. Or Rav Kook was a young man in those days, didn't go with it. He didn't go with it. He went with it only in 1920 when it became Palestine and the British mandate system, and they took over. They wanted to have a chief rabbi, and they appointed a Rav Kook as chief rabbi. The Gedolei Yisroel said, don't take it, but they never threw him overboard. They never threw him overboard. He was a great person. They felt he was sincere. They never threw him overboard. And he was always in contact with them and did a lot of things.
Well, from what I understand, at least from the secular side, there was a tremendous amount of bitterness.
Of where?
Between the religious community.
Of course, but never against the person of Rav Kook. Just that he was mixed up with it. And he did certain things which distressed them very much. One of the things he did in 1935, they opened up the Hebrew University. What do you think was the first faculty in the Hebrew University? And the only faculty? No, they wouldn't have religion. Beg pardon? Bible. Bible is biblical criticism. Those days it was there. You couldn't have it. You know what biblical criticism is? This is, a man wrote it, and the Torah was written by several people, and Ezra took part of it, and Ezra redacted it. That was it. He went to the opening, he couldn't help himself. So Herbert Samuel said, you don't come, what do you mean you won't come to the opening? Such an event. The first time that the Jews have got a university, you won't be there. You've got to be there, you've got to speak. He had to go. It's at the
bottom.
Pardon?
Would have been
Tachifus
if he didn't go?
Well, he was in that position. The only way he could have done it was to say, I'm sorry, then you can have my position. He did, so he went. Of course, this caused a lot of resentment, caused a lot of bitterness, but never against this person. They always suspected him. Never against him. The others, they didn't. Now, I'm just telling you very short. You see, then in 1912, there was a Katowice conference where the Agudas Yisrael was formed. And the Agudas Yisrael was very afraid of politics. And how were they going to control the politics? What is politics? This you can do. You've got to do it in order for the state. You've got to do it. You've got to do this for. Otherwise, we can't play a part in this. We've got to be in it. You can do it. But it's against the principles of terror. And you've got to bend it. So they instituted the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. The Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah consisted of the Chofetz Chaim and the Meir Simcha and the Chaim Ozer. And they weren't interested in the politics. And nothing could be done unless it had the sanction of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. And they wanted to do some things. Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah said no. They said no, it was no. So that was the safeguard. It was a wonderful idea.
That's the way that it still works.
No. Gone, because the political arm is too strong and the but it's Gedolei is too weak. We haven't got that anymore. And the Chaim Brisker in 1910, I think was 1912. The Chaim Brisker said you've got to have, I think he said, three further safeguards, and they didn't take it through, and he didn't join it. said, I can't, because this is Yid, and he predicted what would, what happened was in 60 years later, what he predicted would happen, happened. And the thing fell to pieces. But even today, the Agudas Yisrael will not go into the government. The Mizrahi is in the government, but the Agudas Yisrael is not in the government. You haven't got an Agudas Yisrael man as a cabinet minister. It doesn't go into the government. In the Knesset,
also
yes.
Also in the coalition. They vote?
Yes, oh yes, they vote for the coalition. They do all that sort of thing. But even, you see, today there's certain things. Now, what happens this? So, in the Mizrahi, the basis is, they say, Eretz Yisrael, first and foremost. You say, but truly Torah comes first. So they say, but Eretz Yisrael is Torah. Eretz Yisrael is Torah, that comes first, you see. Now, so the result is that you've got Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, and some of these are learned people. Now, you show me, that's a project of Eretz Yisrael. So they wanted to introduce Yerushalmi. They may, you can't work with them. So they gave it up now. But that is how it started, trying to make Yerushalmi. But you see, they do other things also which aren't right. For example, the deen is that if a person comes from Eretz Yisrael to California, and he's going to be in California for 6 months. Of course, and it's Yom Tov, he keeps only one day Yom Tov. But he doesn't go to business the second day Yom Tov. Marisha Ayin. It weakens. Milton goes to Shulam, he's driving to car, going to business. It weakens my keeping Yom Tov. I go in his time, it weakens it.
Rabbi, I have just that problem. In the last promotion, a fellow was brought down from Israel, and he was there during Pesach. So, I and one other person that were religious, so we had to be able to face. However, he, who was from Israel, he was working the second day.
Yes,
so the boss says, so, what's with you? He's religious too. He doesn't need traits. You don't need traits.
Well,
he can work day two.
I must tell you that in South Africa, the establishment is Orthodox. So when Yom Tov comes, the Orthodox give a directive to the schools, to the universities, to the colleges, everything. 2 days, these 2 days are Rosh Hashanah, this is your day of Yom Kippur, 2 days Sukkot, another 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Pesach, another 2 days Pesach, 2 days Shavuos, gives everything. That is it. It will never say that there are some Jews who keep only one day. There's no such thing. It's 2 days. That's the directive that goes out. Then there goes a request to the reform. For the sake of solidarity, we ask you not to allow your children to go to school the second day. You follow? We ask them not to do it. Well, of course, they say, well, what do you give us in return and all that? We want you, we'll say, what do you want? We want you to recognize our conversions. We say, that's out of the question. Not negotiable. Can't discuss that. All right, let us take part in the Board of Education. We say, you can't because that's religious. Religion, you can't do that. You can't take part in the Board of Education. Well, let us be represented on the Zionist Federation. I say, fine. It is a pleasure. See, and that is the way it works. It's a different system. But now you get a person comes to California from Israel. He keeps only one day on it, and he works on it. How long are you going to stay here? Oh, I've come only for 3 months. All right. 3 months, right. Don't take it. But it's already a year and he's still here. He said, well, you know, it's worked out. That's it. It's 2 years. He said, well, you know, I decided I'm going to buy a house here. Why do you want a house here? I want to pay off it. It's equity. I'll pay off my flat. How long are you going to stay here? I don't know. Another 5 years. He said, suppose so. Another 10 years. He said, maybe. And what's about the second day, Yom Tov? He said, I asked the rabbi of Israel, and he said, I mustn't keep the second day Yom Tov. Why not? It's a Golus mentality. We've got to implant in Israel, you see. Well, of course it works out like that, you see. So that is what one is up against. But, I mean, one lives together. It's not an insoluble situation. It's not an insoluble situation. So it helps with the Yerushalmi. The Baraisas helps considerably. That helps considerably. But the only people who know how to work with it are people that are absolutely clawed in bubbly. They can take them straight to Protestant. Yeah, okay. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry that it's so late today. In Yitz Hashem next week, believe me, the 7 o'clock sharp. If we haven't got a minion, we start with the Gemara at 7 o'clock. I'm going to my husband. The Gemara says that if a person knows something evil about a person, he mustn't speak about it because he mustn't even give evidence about it because one can't do anything with the evidence. And since one is clear. That is a different thing. That is, if I lend somebody $100, and when I claim it from him, he says, I don't know what you're speaking about. He demands it, denies it. I haven't got two witnesses, but I've got one witness. Then if I've got one witness, then he must take an oath that he doesn't owe me that money.
And
that's
when
the
claimant and
the
witness?
A claimant and a witness. And one witness is still a fool. Yes, the claimant can't be a witness. He's a...
But there's two people who know about it. Right?
There are two people who know about it. But right. Then this is a civil case. Well, of course, I'm entitled to get my money back.
Right.
So I don't know, I'm not allowed to go and speak about it to anybody, but I come to a big deal and I ask for my money back. But if I come, somebody has done something wrong, it's been out to somebody else's wife, which is not a very nice thing to do. So in fact, it's more than that. And there's only one witness. Say, nobody is going to the best team. Don't go to the best team, because the best team can't do anything with it. So you just be quiet about it. And then there was a question, but you remember, we said he's permitted to hate him until he does tshuva. That he's permitted to hate him. Then we said, is he permitted to kill his teacher? And the reason why should he kill his teacher? Now, we had a little, I learned at the time, lemisnia, that his teacher should hate him. Do you remember that?
The reason why you tell a teacher is for a teacher to reprove him.
Well, you know, the word is a strange word, and I looked it up here. There is also got it to hate him, that his teacher should hate him.
Well, you started last time to teach him.
No, well, we were debating it. We were debating it. No, that's not it. Yeah. That he should hate him. What about killing his teacher that he should hate him?
Well, because the word is...
Labisnia, you see?
Oh, and to teach him to hate
him. It's a very, very same, very, very the same shoulders. The Misnia, his teacher, that his teacher must hate him. And that's the way it would, that seems to be the pshat. No, I mean, if his teacher hates him, he'll teach him. Because his teacher got an obligation to root out any hatred. So if he's got it, he'll teach him and try and root it out, correct him and try and root it out from him.
How can you start to me that the reason why this solitary witness is telling the teacher so that the teacher should hate him?
I spoke about that last week. We find a lot of this. We find, look, when David HaMelech is on his deathbed, he tells his son, gives him a charge. And you can imagine what David HaMelech feels like when he's on his deathbed. His whole life was Kivas Hashem, his whole life. Kivas Hashem, being close to Hashem. And all the psalms, every psalm is Kivas Hashem, is every psalm.
And this great David HaMelech now, when he's on his deathbed, tells Shlomo HaMelech three things I want you to do. There is no offense through you. He killed two people, although they were against me, says David, but he had no right to kill them because it wasn't war. He killed them and there was no war. Don't let him die peacefully. See that he has a bloody end. The B'nai Barzilai were particularly good to me when I had to flee from your brother Avshalom. Never forget that. See that they are always at your table. Then there was Shimon ben Gera, who cursed me as nobody has ever cursed anybody. The great Shimi ben Gero, when he discovered that he backed the wrong horse, then he came to ask me forgiveness, and he asked me to take an oath that I wouldn't put him to death, because he's a Moreb Malchus. I took that oath. You just don't hold him guiltless. Don't hold him innocent. See that he has a bloody head.
That's the third one? There's two people he said.
Yoav ben Tzruya and Shimi ben Gera. And the B'nai Barzilai, just the reverse. Now, this victim in Kopish is dying. And he says to his son, the Chozakto, the Yisul Ish, and you should. You must speak about this.
Mm-hmm. It's not the most.
I don't have to repeat it. The Chozakto, the Yisul Ish. So he tells him, the Chozakto, the Yisul Ish, he tells him. And this is what you've got to do. So, you've got to understand. It's not a man, it's a word. It's not a man. He's a king. He's got a position to uphold. It's Malchus Beis David. The Am Yisrael is eternal. The Torah is eternal. There will always be an Am Yisrael. There will always be a Torah, and Am Yisrael will have the Torah. There will always be a Malchus Beis David. And you just let him ride roughshod over you? Robert asked me a very good question. He said, he heard me once speak that the Gemara says a person must be pliable as a reed. That's when it concerns yourself. Pliable as a reed. But when it concerns the Torah, oh no. You've got an obligation. Look what he did. And the people must just see, you can play about with Malchus like that. With Srora you can play about like that. How do you say Srora in English? The person who's got Srora is... You know, every word I use in English...
Rebellion?
No. Every word... Authority? Authority is the word. Thank you. That's just the word I want. With authority? If you've got authority, and authority is total authority, can't do that. You're in a position of responsibility. You're in a position of responsibility, you're a worm. And you will be strong and you will be a man. Nothing. The Mayor Soloveitchik is about 23,000 meters.
one day he came to me and he wanted a sefer, and there was a stamp made in the sefer. Beis Midrash of Meir Soloveitchik stamped. He said, "Who did this?" He said, "Did you ask permission? Did you ask for shoes?" He said, "Come and see." He didn't allow him back. Didn't allow him back. You don't do things without decision. You're not the authority. You ask. Then you've got to assert yourself. I mean, just if you want to, you'll be done. Wherever you turn, I mean, the great David HaMelech, and how many are the days of your life? How long do I live? Mosai ta aseva rut fai mishpot. When Hashem, will you execute justice against those who pursue me? For no reason. When will you execute justice? Korili zedim sichos. These arrogant men have dug pits for me to get me to fall into them. Asher lo chaser resecho, which is not according to your Torah. If they would have done it and it's according to five. But Hashem lo chaser resecho, not according to your Torah. Kol mitzvosecho emuno, all your mitzvahs are faithful. Sheker redofuni, they pursued me with sheker. Ozrei. And then he speaks, if I can only find it, you know, I can't always find it. Tachli sino senesim, le'evim ho'yuli. He says to Hashem, halo misan echo Hashem etzno, Hashem, your enemies didn't I hate? So I'm not so bad after all. I've got something in my favor. Uvis kilme mecho is kotot, and with those who rode up against you, I strove with them. Tachlis sinos anaisi. I hated them with tachlis sinos. How do you say tachlis sinos in this language? With the utmost hatred I hated people. Le'evim hoyuli, they were my personal enemies. Because they had to do it. But he says, he's got a Talmid, and he thinks he's the most wonderful person. He's got a responsibility to him. I told you about Hillel the B'nai B'Seiro. This Hillel, this greatest honor of it all, comes to the B'nai B'Seiro after they've made him the Nosi, and he says, "Gentlemen, not very nice. I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger, I come from Bobo. All I've got is a green card, I haven't even got a passport here. And you have to make me the head. Why not one of you? You were indolent. You didn't sit at the feet of Shema Yodav Talgo. That's what brought this about. How can you tell something like this? This great honor. If he's in a position of authority, that's his duty. You don't flinch from duty. First of all, you've got to be a person in authority and of authority. And second, you've got to be a person of the Torah. And thirdly, you've got to be absolutely certain that you're not doing it because of yourself or for yourself. And you've got to do it. Then you've got to do it. There's no question about it.
Why
did
he
not forgive this person? He didn't really forgive him. What he did was, he said, "I won't kill you." Came down his feet, "I won't kill you." But he never altogether trusted him. And what he really said to Shlomo HaMelech, he said, "Don't hold him guilty." So what did Shlomo HaMelech do? He told him he mustn't go out of a certain area. And he did go out of that area. That was the proof that he's not in the earth. Didn't obey him. He's got the authority. Told him, don't go out. Found out that he went out. Then he had to put him down. It's still the same shimmy bit available. You follow?
But, I'm just justifying here. I'm justifying
the Yosef brought the bosom raw or to their father of the Shvatim. He brought it to their father in order that their father should teach them. Right. Now let us go further, please. Kufyut Gimel, I just promised you that I'll do a little bit every day, so that I'll finish it. Just please help me.
No, Rava was not the teacher of.
Are we pardoned?
Rava apparently was not the teacher of Kufyut.
I don't think so. No. No. Right. Did we get? We got as far as the Torn Rabbonin, isn't it?
Right,
Torn Rabbonin. The Rabbonin learned the long lines 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. 6 lines from the Torn Rabbonin. The Rabbonin learned in the Baraisa. Ephraim, are you ready for me?
Yes.
Torn Rabbonin, got the place?
Yes.
Zerik, have you got the place? Torn Rabbonin learned. Shlosho Chayehen Einon Chayim. There are three whose lives are not lives. Vorachmonim, Vorachsonim, Vadine Adas. Vorachmonim, people who are over merciful. Stefan Zweig wrote that famous book, Beware of Pity. Person is a mess, you know. He feels sorry for everybody, sorry for everybody. The only person he doesn't feel sorry for is himself. And of course he's a mess. It's all pity. So, Vorachmonim, it's something, you've got to be, Vorachsonim, people will get angry at everything. Everything gets angry. Like, the Californians used to be like that, but there's been a vast improvement. He's angry. And he shows he's angry, You don't do it.
Was it
very yes, it comes from boiling. Raseach. Mayim Roschim is boiling water. He boils at every little thing. Not allowed to be angry. The person who's angry is a Ke'ilu Ovid Avodah Zorah. Not angry. But Anine Hadas, and those who, everything has got to be just right. Everything is just right. Yes, yeah, just right it's got to be.
What is Anine?
I don't know what the exact word anime. I just know the expression is anime adas. Fastidious is a. I'm sure you use the word. Fastidious, everything has got to be just right. Well, it's got to be just. You follow it, sir. You dot your I. It's too much on the right hand side. It's got to be exactly over the I. You follow it? You cross your T. It didn't go right through the T. It's just a little bit off. This way. The Omar of Yosef, Kuru Ismihubi, and Rav Yosef said, and all these three things are with me. So, not very nice. Not very nice that Rav Yosef said, all these three things are with me. So, what does it mean? I overcame them. It was me that I overcame them. I worked on them. I think I just let it be. I got the better of all these three things until I got it right. No, it means a person who is pity, he's over pitiful. He's life isn't alive. Another person is like, another person is like, oh, I see. Rav Yossi, yes. I mean, but you see, it's very...
very hard to know, but there's a lot of
petty
animals that
petty never did. Yes, that can be. That isn't. Yes. Now the Rashbam said Rachmonim says Rashbam Yoseir Midai that he's a Rachmon Yoseir Midai. If you want to find it, where you see Agoz Abach on the left hand side, Agoz Abach, it's just where it says Agoz Abach for Rachmonim. Yes. Rachmonim. Actually, you should use both your hands. Rachmonim, Yosei Midai. Robert, that's right. You're accustomed to use both your hands. Rachmonim, Yosei Midai. To be a Rachmon, Yosei Midai, more than enough. Literally, Yosei Midai means more than enough. Vahani Shlosho Mili, Dover HaTodir Bohem. Now, the Rashbam makes a very important remark here. He says, these three things, he says, it's a continuous set of circumstances. A person who is a Rachmon is always a Rachmon. A person who is a Roseach, he boils, every day he's doing it. Several times a day he does it. And the Amine Adas, the person who everything must be just right, it's not something that it happens once a week, once a fortnight, once a month. This is thing every day. You say, what kind of a life is that? This isn't the kind of a life. The Hani Shlosho Midi Dovra Todir Bohem, Kol Shor, it's every moment. The Chivin Dehu Makpida Lehim, Ein Chayov Chayim. And since he's so he's definite about these things, his life is no half. She ain't no menucho. A man like that has got no rest. Ain't no menucho. So, but that is simple to understand. Please keep your one finger on the right bump so you won't have to go wandering. Tonu Rabbonon. Back again to the text. Tonu Rabbonon. Rabbonon said, Shlosho soni ze eze. Eluhay. There are three that hate one another. Haklovim, Vatarnegolim, Vachaveri. There are three that hate one another, that is dogs, cocks, and Chaverim are scholars. A real pardon? It's professional jealousy.
What type of scholars?
Terrorist college. Yes. There is a Rashi that I'd like to look up later, but I don't want to spend it. The Rashi is in Shabbos, I don't want to spend the time now. The Yesh Omrim Afazone. And others say prostitutes also hate one another. Now, it's difficult to understand. Dogs are like that. I mean, you walk down the street and you've got your dog in a leash and he's absolutely, he's not being harming anybody. Another dog comes and rushes up at him, starts barking him and fighting with him. It's and Targagolim, cocks are the same thing. The Yesh Omrim Afazone. Proselytes also, they're in the same street, they hate one another. The Yesh Omrim Afazone Chachomim. It's not proselytes, I'm sorry.
They're like proselytes.
The Yesh Omrim Afazone Chachomim. And Afazone Chachomim Shebevovel. The Afazone Chachomim Shebevovel. Now, you must understand, there's a very big difference between when the animals do it and Talmidei Chachomim Shebevovel, there it's for absolutely a different reason. And they are so certain of their own minds
that if there is a dissentient one, they don't like it. But these are all people who overcome their dislike. They overcome their dislike for one another. And we have the example also in that year, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, when he tells him to come on the day that Rabbi Yeshua brings his Yom Kippur, and when he comes, he embraces him, he kisses him, and Rabbi Gamliel addresses him and says, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi v'Talmidi, Rabbi that you know more than I do, and Talmidi that you listen to what I, you obey authority, I've got the authority and you obey authority. Great thing. So they are able to overcome all that. But it's very necessary to know that a person has got it. If you don't know that he's got it, you can never overcome it. You don't know, you don't work on it. You've got to know that you've got it. Of course he's got it. This is professional jealousy. Of course he's professional jealousy.
Part of the practice of doing somebody, you have to admit.
Exactly. You've got, first of all, you've got to know. Do you want to ask me?
Yeah, I want to know what the difference between Chabir and some of the performance.
Oh, there's a very big difference between a chover and a tamer. A tamer's chochom is much greater than a chover.
So then, wouldn't it be a tamer chomer then?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So it can be a tamer chochom, not.
I don't know why both examples had to be given.
Because they're both different cases. I want to look up this Rashi on this, just to remind me a little bit later.
No, but I could, so obviously you can take any category of professional.
Yes, the only thing is the other professionals never overcome it. They remain with it. The Talmidei Chachamim will overcome it.
But then why do you put them in the same category as dogs and cats? Because they obviously don't overcome it.
No, it's not in the same category. It's a Yesh Omri. Oh, the Chaverim.
Yeah.
Because the middle, it's the same type of middle. The same type of middle. Yeah, I'm dealing at the moment with two people who were very close friends. The one person, his wife drove him to the shir and to learn, and the other person, his wife said, again, actually. Another year. What did you get out of it? It's time you earned it, and it's time you got a rise in it. The one with the wife who drives into the shir has shot her. Amazing. Each other is. His wife also. It's amazing what he has achieved. And the other one with the wife
that.
He advanced. The other one, and now the other one was far ahead of this one, but far ahead. The other one started much later. Was far ahead. Now this one has advanced so much beyond the other one.
The one whose wife is supporting him.
Yes.
Advanced ahead of the one.
So much so, that there is resistance. The other one resists. You see? Something's wrong with him. He resents it. Now, he hasn't reached the stage that he understands that he hates, why he hates him. He hates him because he's accusing his conscience. Who likes a conscience? That's why he hates him. He can't understand it. Once he understands that he's got the power to fight it, you overcome it. He doesn't understand it. That's the great front of you. You could only understand it, right? See that, yes?
Is it possible here that Chavim, Chavim, and Chavim are euphemisms for types of people? Like, Chavim might be a person who likes to talk a lot, perhaps, or constantly?
I wouldn't say that. Because it's telling that he is. We learn a lot from the animals. There's a Gemara there, so you know the Gemara, the well-known Gemara. That if you wouldn't have had the Torah, you would have had the animal. The Torah, you see. Needless that the animals have got good needles and bad needles. But dogs and cocks and chavis don't like one another. I can see this. Well, let's look at the facts straight away. I wanted to look at it's an umom is made healthy. It's a tribe that is connected with the Persians. It's a nation that is what it means by chavirim. Chavirim. But Eliyahu Aklum Vata and the girl in Vachavri, he says Rashi in Rashi in Shabbos says before the Yud Aleph Umad Aleph. Yud Aleph Umad Aleph at the top of the page. The Yesh Omer Afa Zonus, the Yesh Omer Afa Amidi Chacham Sheva Bobet. Torn the Rabbonim, Tlosho Oavim. Now, here when it says Amidi Chacham Sheva Bobet, it's not the same type of hatred. There is a hatred that a person that you hate a person is successful. That's not necessarily the same type of hatred. I once spoke to you about a big Miller, the trouble he had when he started his feeling successful, and they just pounded him until he started with his neighbors on his own, and he's got nothing to do with anybody else. And if anybody wants to come and tell him how to run his affairs, he says, please. He doesn't mind. He doesn't have to do that. And he tells him that he's good for him to go. And that's the way he's run it. And he's run it like that for how many 40 years now, right? Right. Now, Tono Rabbono. The Rabbono learned, let us go a bit further. There are three who love one another. Eluhain, these are they. Hagairim, proselytes, and Yeraminus. The Avodim and slaves. The Orvim are ravens. No. The Orvim and Arboris.